Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Allow me one quick, cheap plug if I can. Even though there's the forecast for some snow beginning early evening, it's not going to be dramatic around here. I will be at Wellesley Books tonight from 7 to 9.
Get out there.
Signing copies of If These Walls Could Talk, Boston Bruins. Hope if you get the chance and you're in that area. And look, if you have a book, bring it. If you don't have a book, you can buy it there. Wellesley Books certainly has them. But I'll be at Wellesley Books tonight from 7 to 9. Thank you.
What it's going to sound like tonight.
I've never been there, but my friend Ben Coase, the New York Times bestselling author, lives near there. He said it's one of his favorite places to do book signings anywhere.
There you go. Good.
And, in fact, I think he's going to stop by and visit at some point tonight as well. So
nice.
If you're in the area,
I think
please
so.
Stop by and pick up a lovely holiday gift.
You know, I was picking through the book, Dale, and you were not sad to see the Boston Garden go.
No.
You were a dump. You did not have a whole lot
of... It was a dump.
You didn't find the rats
I won't be that
charming.
Sorry to see Fenway go.
Yeah.
They've done about as much as they can do with...
They've maxed that out.
They have,
that's not going anywhere,
and
though.
I give them... Well, it's not going to last forever.
It might.
I don't think it can.
Will it last longer than baseball?
I doubt it. Baseball will probably. And by the way, if you do follow the show's Twitter account, at Dale Keefe, W-E-E-I, another holiday gift idea for you.
Yeah.
Neck Slim.
I saw that.
It might be the double chin exercising machine.
Yeah, double or triple, depending on
it
who
you are.
It
doesn't say that, but so do you think this
one
would,
at a time. I'll give it a shot.
This sounds like one of those infomercials that you see at like 3 in the morning.
It's like a shake
weight. Wait, there's more.
It's a shake weight for your neck is what it looks like. Yeah, I don't know.
So Ryan brought this to the attention of Rossi, our producer,
and we tweeted it out.
And they've got the guy holding the stick, and you could see it fixes this muscle right here, and it strengthens that muscle right there. It looks a little goofy. I hope you get it just so that I can see you do it.
I think it's a stocking stuffer for sure.
Yeah, I give it a shot.
Double chin with the facial massage. And they've got the before and after pictures, too. I'm sorry.
It looks like it works, right? Those people have done much better.
You buying all the before and after photos here?
I don't know.
Well,
maybe not.
I'll keep it in mind as we approach the holiday season.
It's a month away.
As we said, a nice stocking
stuffer
for you.
It'd be nice.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Let's go to Mike in Dracut. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How are we today?
Doing great.
Before I get to my point on the Pittsburgh kid, I just want to say a couple of things really, really, really quick. Dale, kudos to you. I can't wait to get your book.
Thank you.
I'm sure it's going to be a great read.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
You're welcome. And Keith.
Yes.
Brother, you had me when I was told it was a devil dog, I was with you. Man, nothing better than a couple of three devil dogs and a quart of milk, but those snow ones, yuck.
No, snowballs, no thanks.
A couple three devil dogs
couple three
and a
devil
quart
dogs.
Of milk.
We got them here. If you want to come down to the station, we got a few here.
All right, so to my point. I feel the kid should be charged, and I'll tell you why. I think because of the fact he looked around to see if the refs were looking, because of the fact that it had nothing to do, I know, Keith, you were saying about is it like a vagrant foul, excuse me. It's not a vagrant foul if his intent was to do nothing but injure that other kid.
Oh, he was trying to hurt the kid. There's no doubt about that.
So therefore, that's a criminal thing. Now, that's not going to ruin him. If there was a charge from, by the way, it would be the charge from the person, the kid that got hit, not from the university or anything, but the kid that got hit has to file charges. But if he files charges, it's not going to ruin the kid. You know, first of all, it's just a simple assault. And I know the other caller there said something about him not being able to get a job, this, that, and that's a load because he can have that expunged in 3 years. So that's not going to hurt him down the road. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, you're right. I mean, I think people are given second chances. People are given third chances, and we'll see what happens. I mean, right now it looks awful, and right now whether he gets charged or not, it's going to be a part of this guy. Like again, we know his name. We've seen the video, and now when people are applying for jobs, it's so easy to take a look into their social media, like. What do you think employers do now? They just Google you, right? I mean, I would Bing, but they would Google. And they put that kid's name in. You think there's going to be a few hits back? Like, they'll see that. But it also depends on how he responds to it. You know, how does he answer questions about it and everything else? He's still young. He's still got really 2 years left of college.
The school in their release, Fitchburg State, said the case is being reviewed at the student conduct level for consideration of further sanctions. I don't think they're talking about arrest here. They're talking about... hey, you know, you're restricted to your dorm for the next two. I don't know what student sanctions there are. But the student conduct level seems like about the right level to approach this thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to the criminal charges level.
That's right. I mean, I know not everybody agrees with that. We've talked to a handful of people today that think that it should be a criminal charge. I don't. I mean, either way, this kid's not going to be able to just run and hide from it completely, you know, and pretend that it never happened. Not in this day and age, not when you have the video out there, and that's not going anywhere.
I wonder if he wants to stay on campus. I wonder if he wants to stay.
I bet he wants to go. My guess is he would want to play basketball somewhere, and maybe another school would take a chance.
Yeah, see, that I think that's going to be hard for him. I mean, I could see him, you know, applying to be admitted to wherever, pick your school, and getting into a school. I think it would be hard to join a basketball program at another school.
I think because of who he is, and by who I mean,
he's apparently a good player. He was player of the week last week.
Yeah, but he's a Division III player, you know, because I, you know, like on Netflix they have a great series called Second Chance U, where it's a junior college in Mississippi, and they just have most of their team is populated with kids that got kicked out of D1 schools, and for a variety of reasons, couldn't do the grades, got caught, you know, robbing somebody, like, you know, like all kinds of things, and then they get picked up by somebody. Somebody will give them an opportunity if they're good enough. But you're sort of getting a weird spot when you're Division III, like,
right?
Is another school gonna say, yeah, we really need to have this guy? It's like, no, you're probably not.
It's not like you're recruiting, you know, scholarship athletes.
No, right? It's different. And so, I mean, you're recruiting, yes, but it's very different. So I think. But if he was ever going to play college basketball again, my guess is it would be for another school that says, hey, you know, we interviewed the kid, we're giving him a second chance, and, you know, no strikes. If anything happens, you know, he's gone.
Right.
So I think that has a chance.
Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike.
Hello?
Hi, Mike. Mike?
I couldn't disagree with that last caller anymore. I do love your show, by the way, guys, and I really like the time slot you're in.
Thanks.
This kid's life is being defined by the internet. The overreaction police have just gone way out on this thing. This kid, every sport has dirty play. Every hockey game you watch has cheap shots. Baseball pitchers throw at batters. Base runners take out guys who are making a play. Football, look what Gronk did last year. Another caller mentioned that. Only because of the internet and that this thing went viral does the school feel the need to react or overreact in such a way so as to define this kid's life for the rest of his life. No, he does not need criminal charges. And yes, a criminal charge against him would follow him for the rest of his life. He doesn't get his record expunged in 3 years. And Jesus, he's 20 years old. He's a junior in college. So obviously he is a good enough citizen for all of that. Can't let one incident in a basketball game define the rest of this kid's life or define his future even at Fitchburg State. He should be allowed to go to school and graduate. If they don't want him on the team, fine. But in any other time without the internet, that kid would have been kicked out of the game, maybe missed another game. I mean, look at other players who have done. Christian Lattner comes to mind from several years ago in a Duke game where he stomped some kid on the floor. I mean, every sport has these instances, and the punishment has never been suggested to be.
Mike, don't you think this was a little beyond Christian Leitner? I mean, you've seen the video, right?
Of Christian Leitner?
No, of this play, the Fitchburg State play. You've seen it, right?
Absolutely saw it.
And this is beyond a hard foul, a flagrant foul. This was, I mean, I'll use the word. To me, this borders on assault.
Sure. During an athletic event in which assault, maybe not in basketball, maybe not to that extent, that level or that extreme, but basically in these athletic events, assault is overlooked. You tell me when a pitcher throws at a guy's head, it's not an assault, or when a hockey player takes a cheap shot at somebody's head when he's looking down at the puck, that's not an assault, or what Gronk did to that poor player last year when he knocked him out. That wasn't an assault. I mean,
no, I'm with you. I think that's the problem. And even if this is more extreme than some of those others, as soon as you do it for this one, you're going to start to really look at the other ones more.
I don't think you. I mean, I certainly haven't seen a lot like this.
This one's kind of out there. This one's definitely pretty bad.
And the other, and I should have said this while the caller was on the line. I apologize. The other disagreement I have with him is just because you have access to it doesn't mean the action is better or worse. I mean,
wait, what do you mean you have access to it?
So, in other words, he said because of the internet, you know, this is blown up. Well, He still did it.
Oh, no, but
whether
I do
anybody
agree with
had
him.
Videoed it or yeah. not, he still did.
No, but I agree with him.
If what you had was an arena full of witnesses who said, oh, my God, you should have seen what this guy did.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? The arena, like, there's 100 people there. You know what I mean? I think
D3 basketball is pretty big.
Some places.
Fitchburg State.
The school's reaction, though, I think is because of the video. I do agree with them on that. I think if this wasn't on the internet, and if Fitchburg State wasn't trending on Twitter or some of these
in the worst possible way.
Yeah, right. And some of these national shows are showing the clip. So the first time ever that you've been on whatever show or like the news, it's because of that. So they had to respond to it. Whereas if it doesn't get out, and if it is, let's be honest, it's different. If somebody called in today, Dale, and said, oh, hey, there was a crazy play in this D3 game I saw. Some kid, well after the shot, elbowed another kid in the face. You'd be like, oh, man, really? That's nuts. And then you'd move on. Like, it wouldn't really be that big of a story. But when you can actually watch the video over and over again, it does look so much worse.
The student conduct level, which is what they are considering now at Fitchburg State, what that means is you put the student on probation. And basically, I mean, he does anything. You know,
yeah, right.
he gets caught, you know,
open container.
He's underage.
Or, yeah.
You know, he gets caught with a beer in his room.
Right.
He is out the door. I mean, literally anything.
Yeah.
That's what I think is more likely here. Now, I think his basketball is definitely done for this year, if not, you know, for good.
And I think that's punishment enough. I mean, I really do. I think that is pretty severe. Like, if you take any college athlete, D1, 2, or 3, right now, midway through their career, and as we were saying, the kid was player of the week in the conference last week.
Well, not anymore. They took that away.
No, that's right. They took it away from him. But at one time, he was named that. Meaning, my point is, he's not just a kid who's on the team. Like, he actually plays, and apparently he's pretty good. So if now you tell him, hey, you're not doing that anymore, like, that is pretty significant. Like, I think, you know, the message should be received at that point. But don't kick him out of school. Don't make it even worse than it is.
Terry's in Rhode Island. Hey, Terry.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. What's going on?
I love you guys, so I listen to you guys all the time.
Thank you.
I listen to these other guys talk. Yes, that was a malicious attack from the kid that had no play in basketball whatsoever. He should definitely be suspended from the team. From school, he should be on notice. If any of the other things, he should be suspended from that if he's on notice. But definitely kicked off the team. You should have ruined the kid's life from something he did from that. I play basketball for 30 years now, and I've done dirty plays myself growing up, and people have dirty plays done to me. But what happens on the floor stays on the floor, but that was definitely malicious and has no place to be in basketball.
Yeah, this was a little beyond a dirty play, though, don't you think?
Yeah, it was. He looked and then hit the kid. That was definitely...
Oh, it's extremely dirty. I mean,
this was not a hard foul. This was not a dirty play.
There is a difference here between saying he should have criminal charges and,
right.
Not that bad. Like, I'm not saying
that.
Oh,
God, no.
It certainly was. It was bad. My first reaction to it was like, oh, my God. Like, that kid, like, is the kid okay? He got absolutely pummeled. Like, it was a horrible play. It was as cheap a play as you're going to see. I'm just not ready to take it to the next level. And I know that there are some people that firmly believe this, it was assault, and he should be, you know, taken to court over it. I'm not going that far. I think if you just kick him off the team, that is enough. But, yeah, that is as bad of a play in basketball, as far as a cheap shot is concerned, outside of, like you said, Rudy Tomjanovich getting blindsided and really, you know, ending his career. And you know, some of those plays going back to the 80s with some of the crazy stuff. This was as terrible a foul or, you know, knockout blow as you're going to see.
I was mentioning we were working last night on Nesson, and Jaffe and I are sitting in the green room, you know, working. We got the Bruins game up, and on my iPad, I see this video. We go to a commercial break for the Bruins game, and I spin the iPad around, and I said, Billy, you got to see this, and I hit play.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's going, oh, yeah, look at the basketball. Whoa! And it's like even he was going, I mean, when you finally see the blow delivered in the corner, it just sort of jars you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're thinking, okay, there's a shot. He's trying to block the shot. Oh, he didn't block the shot, and bang.
Took him right out.
He absolutely did. Dick is in Taunton. Hey, Dick, how you doing?
Hi, good morning. Good afternoon, guys.
What's up, Dick?
I want to comment about the Fitchburg kid, of course.
All right.
The way that the police departments, any law enforcement agency, actually is demonized today, that any agency upon hiring him that came across that video, they would have to renege on hiring him just because of the bad optics of it, regardless of the fact that the eventual complaint that's going to be lodged against him in his career, you know, of brutality, because it comes for almost every police officer. It's almost inevitable now. that would be really bad for public relations when that, you know, when that came about.
So just because of what he did last night, no charges filed, no nothing, just what he did, he's not going to be able to get a job in the criminal justice field.
If they came across it, I'm saying. If they didn't come across it, they might hire him.
Well, they're going to come across it. I mean, any good place that does their, you know, background checks, they're going to find this. This won't be that hard to find.
Then they would have to renege on hiring him because it would just be bad optics to hire a kid who has a documented case of brutality.
What if he keeps his nose clean for the next, you know, first of all, he's in college for 2 more years. And then what, who knows, he might do more school after that. Like, we don't know what this guy's going to do.
Okay. So, all right, so the inevitable charge that comes against him for brutality, because everybody's got a cell phone now, and they're taking.
Why is he going to get charged for brutality for this now?
Because almost every cop does.
Oh, my God, this is a whole different subject then, Dale. This is, now we're just talking about every single cop now?
Where
was the leap there?
I think his point is that it's going to be hard for a police department, and this kid, by the way, is a criminal justice major. That's why we brought it up. That it's going to be hard for a police department who's going to do a simple Google search or a Bing on this kid's name if they've got a job application in front of them, and they're going to see this and go, oh, I don't know. I can see the hesitation.
Sure, no, that I get that. I'm not arguing against that. But to say I don't think he's never going to get a job because of this. That might be
might have a hard time getting a job in that field.
So fair.
I can see where police departments in this day and age
that's fair, especially
would be
if,
very nervous about.
Yeah, and if two people are kind of similar, and you say, well, let's. Pretty easy tiebreaker here. One guy's on video knocking somebody out here on a dirty play. The other guy's not. Let's take that person.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We are the smartest, most intelligent show in Boston. Just ask us.
I like stats. I'm a stat guy. Vorp, very important to me.
And I include almost everybody on this radio station and almost everybody on that radio station. They don't know.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We've talked a little football today. We've talked a little baseball today. Tonight, Mookie Betts will be crowned the MVP in the American League.
And J.D. Martinez will finish seventh.
By a gigantic number, in my opinion.
You should.
I don't think it's even going to be close.
Unanimous?
No.
Question mark?
No, it's never. No. Never unanimous. But I think it'll be by a larger margin than Bob Melvin had over Alex Cora.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. It should be.
I think you've almost got to twist yourself in knots. The Melvin argument, I can see that. You had a much lower payroll, got 97 wins. You know, you could talk yourself into that. You'd have to twist yourself in knots to come up with a reason to not vote for Mookie Betts this year. Even if you're the war guy. Well, he won that one too.
War guy. You got to love war guy. Yeah, he had war guy. If I don't know how much the team matters to people, but he was clearly on the best team, you know, even regular season, which is what all the award is. So he should run away with it, you know, than Trout, Ramirez. I'm more interested in where J.D. Martinez fits in because I thought he had an unbelievable year. He was such an important part of the Red Sox, huge impact in their season-to-season difference. But he's a DH a lot, and he's not a great base runner. So his war is not as high as six other guys. You know, both guys from the Indians, Ramirez and Lindor, had a higher war. Alex Bregman had a higher war. Matt Chapman from the Oakland A's had a higher war. So I'm curious just how much that influences the voters because, you know, you look at old school numbers like RBI and home run, like triple crown numbers, J.D. Martinez was off the charts. But if you look at that pesky war stat, not nearly as good.
I think it's going to be a gigantic plurality and he will complete what has been an amazing year. On the field, win the World Series, has a baby daughter, wins the Gold Glove, wins the Silver Slugger.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, he's also he's waiting to see what Bryce Harper gets. He even made that clear not too long ago. It was like, I'm curious what Bryce Harper's able to make because then Mookie Betts should make more.
He should be right there.
At the very least, that's where you start. And maybe it's the same. Maybe it's the same deal in a couple of years.
Which is why he's probably not going to be here.
But don't you think they should offer
long
it to
term?
Him?
I mean,
they should offer it to him though.
I have no issues with it.
Now
at
you're
all.
Not going to sign it early, like Mookie Betts. All these guys that are that good, they really shouldn't. like they should believe in themselves, get the free agency, get all the teams bidding, and then max it out. That's what they should do, and that's what I think they will do. But Mookie Betts, the Red Sox should offer to him, and then maybe it just is up to him. Does he want to stay here, or does he would he rather play somewhere else?
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Pat's on the cell phone. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Pat.
Hello.
Hi, Pat.
Hey, how are you guys?
Great.
So listen, the only reason I'm calling in real quick, and it's on the Pittsburgh incident, your last caller, especially to address your last caller, a lot of the callers, a lot of people in on the internet, everybody tends to speak in absolutes. Well, he did this, so this is what's going to happen. The fact of the matter is, and I don't want to get into details, but the fact of the matter is when you have someone who has an experience like what this kid did, which is what I did, I did something that was probably, its result was far more heinous than what happened to that, the kid that got struck.
On a basketball court?
Yes. The individual that I struck suffered far more problems than that kid did. So I was convicted of an assault, even though I was working at the time, and I had, obviously, what I considered was a justifiable reason for assaulting this guy. I reacted to an assault, and I assaulted him. I was defending myself. The reason I'm calling, though, is to refute what the last caller said. Subsequently to my incident, I was hired by a police department, a major police department, after an extensive background check. Knowing that I was convicted of an assault, they hired me. Now, I went through, again, an extensive process, a background check, a review by a large board, a board of seven members of this department who screened me, and they considered me to be a good individual who was involved in a bad incident.
Yeah.
And this is a major police department, one of the largest police departments in New England. And they hired
Boston Police Department?
It was a major
Worcester?
Metropolitan Police Department. I don't want to go into who it is. I don't
Springfield?
Want to go into some of the
details. Providence?
Certainly not. I'm a firefighter now. I turned down the police job, but they hired me, and I expressed my disbelief when the deputy chief who informed me that I was being hired, that because of my background, and he said, you know, it's not just one incident. It's not something. Now I don't know this kid who did the assault on the court there. I don't know anything about him. This may have been just an isolated incident, something he reacted to poorly. Who knows? And I'm a liberal. I'm a bleeding heart liberal. But believe me when I tell you that when people make these absolutes that, oh, yeah, this is the police department, and they're not going to hire anybody, that's not true. That's not true. And I'm a perfect example of that. I was convicted of
yeah.
this.
Yep.
Well, and then we're probably dealing in absolutes which don't exist.
Right. No, I think the guy will get a job. But, I mean, not that everybody's going to hire him, but that's, you know, so it is.
And by the way, everybody who does something like that always says there's a reason.
Well,
I responded to an assault, he said, with an assault.
That
and
guy
in,
did.
In other words, yeah.
That guy did.
And everybody, yeah. I would bet that if you ask the kid from Fitchburg,
well, I mean,
he's gonna say, well,
and
you know,
written apology, he just
at
said
the other end of the court, you know, I was trying to shoot and he didn't give me a place to land and
excuses.
I mean, everybody who does that,
yeah,
what
sure.
what they never say is, I'm an idiot. I just did something really incredibly stupid.
Right.
And I've got no justification for it.
No, I don't think this guy does.
Usually they don't go that direction. Rich's on the cell phone. Oops, there we go. Hey, Rich.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Great.
I just obviously turned the thing down.
Sure.
A few things. I was a police sergeant for 25 years, had a midlife crisis, and went to law schools, and now I defend individuals. And I got a couple of things that I wanted to throw out there. This young man, as far as a defense, should he ever have to have one? Criminally wise, there's what's known as the adolescent brain development defense, which essentially says that, you know, up until a person turns 25, 26 years of age, the brain isn't fully developed. And for that reason, juveniles and young adults tend to have impulsive behavior, and they're not always responsible for their actions.
That sounds like an excuse a lawyer comes up with.
Yeah, that's Rich.
Yeah, that's me. No doubt.
Hey, whatever works.
Yeah, and, you know, as far as him, you know, if he were to ever get criminally charged, if he was convicted or even pled to sufficient facts, it's considered a crime of violence on the national standard, and he'd never be allowed to get a license to carry, which is a prerequisite for being hired on any police department nationwide.
Now, the caller just before you refutes everything you just told us.
Yeah, I don't know what to believe now, Rich. We need somebody to break the tie.
No,
maybe
we can
do that tomorrow.
I can simply tell you that he said he took a firefighter's position. He wasn't the police officer. He
right.
was offered it.
There you go.
Firefighter's position.
You were paying closer attention than I was.
The basketball part, you know,
getting
if I'm an athletic director and this is on the internet, liability-wise, I don't think I'm putting this kid on any team.
I think
he should finish school.
Sure.
Definitely finish school. But, you know, when we look at that film, and I played it multiple times there, I think you see some semblance of intent because this kid...
I think there was more than a semblance of intent.
I don't want to blame Rich. Maybe my headphones are up too high. I'm getting a headache. We've exhausted the calls,
on
this.
You probably should have had that tasty treat.
I know. You think that would help? Maybe my blood sugar's low.
Because I saw Jason came and brought you another one, just
in
case.
He's trying to fatten me up for the holidays, I guess.
Well, he's trying to get you ready for that chin exercising thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Yikes.
I mean,
we've got.
Caitlin brought you one. Jason brought you one.
I'm not eating them. I'll leave them for Glenn.
Oh, then there's a chance at least that they'll be eaten.
Yeah, right.
Leave them right here.
Yeah, I
think this is Glenn's spot.
No problem.
Leave right over here.
No problem.
What else you got is coming up next, including what might be a savior for people who get frustrated at Fenway Park.
Back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All right, a couple of stories we didn't get to throughout the course of the day. Keith, I'll let you kick things off on this part.
What else you got?
Well, two things, Dale. A couple of quick plugs here. One, Dale, you have a book signing tonight. If you want
Wellesley
to tell us
Books
once again.
Tonight. Thank you, Rich.
There you go.
Wellesley Books, 7 o'clock tonight.
So I will plug something as well.
Nice.
We're doing a double dork week, 2 hashtag dork podcasts for the price of 1 free week, Dale. Stan Lee passed away earlier this week, so we're going
to
do a full Stan Lee episode. It'll be out later on tonight, weei.com, and on the iTunes and everywhere else you can get hashtag dork. So looking forward to talking about one of the legends in dork culture.
What else you got?
One of the things that frustrates at least old-time Red Sox fans is, you know, the Red Sox can be losing late in a game, and, you know, it comes time, and they got to play Sweet Caroline down at Fenway Park. And that,
I am not a fan.
Yeah, I understand.
No.
I may be able to turn that around for you. James Corden.
I do not like him.
Put together a little, you know, one of these carpool karaoke things.
Of course he did.
With Migos.
Oh, the Migos.
They might save this for you.
Offset. Strong. Hey. Oh.
Was it the spring?
What did the spring become?
Spring.
Spring, spring, you came to summer. You never believe you come along.
Come on.
Okay. Oh. It's coming out. You ready?
Come on. Come on. Hey.
Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, sweet touching you.
Get ready, big build up. Here we go. So if we could have Migos do it. At Fenway, if we could use the Migos version at Fenway.
I still don't know.
Bump Neil Diamond off to the side.
Neil, out of there. Neil, you're done. But I don't even know. I don't even know if they can save the song. Nobody's hotter than Migos right now.
I know. That's why
I thought
maybe this would save it.
Close. Still no for me.
I don't think he was very comfortable singing that song.
I'd send it back. Who wasn't?
Migos. He was like in the beginning.
Well, Migos is
three people.
Migos
is
No, the guy Migos. You guys don't know what you're talking about.
You know, Migos there.
It did seem like they didn't know the words.
Well, they might
not.
Can
you blame them?
I'm not even sure, James.
Hands up!
Well, we know Cardi B is a huge Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
She even said so.
David Ortiz, when he linked to this last night, suggested that Cardi B should maybe do something like this at Fenway next year.
I would be up for that.
No, that would make it worse.
What do you mean? If Cardi B did like a Cardi B song?
If people really don't like this, you know, the Sweet Caroline thing, having like celebrities, what are we going to turn Chicago? Every game there's a different person singing.
It's really weird that the Red Sox are so adamant that people do like Sweet Caroline.
But
they
sing it like crazy over there.
Let me tell you this. Eighth inning.
Yeah.
People are probably drunk at that point.
Well, that
right?
might have something to do with it.
Would they sing any song?
Pretty much.
Okay, then swap it out to something better.
But they've already, and I don't even know why they picked this one, but they did.
Did they pay for it or something, and now they have to use it?
I mean, the whole backstory of the song, it sounds a little creepy.
It sounds extremely creepy.
If you get into that whole thing.
It is it's very bad if you really get into there to the lyrics.
I'll tell you what drives crazy. It drives Lou crazy.
Yeah.
Sox are losing by 5 in the 8th.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, let's sing.
But unfortunately, it's not even worth, you know, talking about them getting rid of it, because that conversation's been going on for a while, and they're locked in on it.
Oh, they're never getting rid of it. I'm just trying to improve on it a little. Well, I like the Migos version better than the Neil Diamond
version.
A friend
of mine whose wife went to Penn State, it is Penn State season ticket holder for football. They play that song.
Do they?
And I looked over at my friend. I went to this a few years ago. I went to the song. I'm like, they play this here? And he goes, yeah, they stopped for a little while. They did. They pulled it, and then they brought it back. And they're like, here we go. And nothing to see.
Once
here,
they put the statue back up, they said, what the hell? Let's get the song back.
People love the song. I'm like, people love a lot of songs. You can find something else.
It was just a thought. I thought it might salvage it. Because they're not going to stop playing it.
It's the best version I've heard, but still, it's a no for me.
All right. Well, it was a thought. OMF is coming up next. Tomorrow we'll be back. Michael Irvin will be here on a False Count Anywhere Friday. And if you are in the area and the snow doesn't deter you, join me at Wellesley Books tonight at 7 o'clock. Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by.